Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Dan Kennedy, a professor of journalism at Northeastern University, who we spoke with some months ago when he wrote an article warning progressives to be careful what they wish for in wanting one of the less electable Republicans to get the nomination instead of the more competent Romney. Now that Romney seems likely to be the nominee, we'll examine the candidate and how he might handle the challenges ahead. Then we'll look further at the Republican frontrunner with Glenn Johnson, who is the politics editor at the Boston Globe's online component Boston.com and the lead blogger for the site's blog, Political Intelligence. He covered Romney's 2008 campaign and is covering the current one, and we will discuss the candidate and his likely campaign themes that were outlined in his victory speech in New Hampshire. Then finally, we'll go to Caracas, Venezuela, and speak with Virginia Lopez, who covers Latin America and Venezuela for the UK's Guardian newspaper. We'll get an update on the health of Hugo Chavez and a local perspective on the visit by Iranian President Ahmadinejad, who also joined Hugo Chavez for the presidential inauguration of Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua. Joining us now is Dan Kennedy, a professor of journalism at Northeastern University, specializing in new media trends. He is a regular panelist on WGBH Boston's Beat the Press, and his blog Media Nation tracks issues related to journalism, politics, and culture. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dan Kennedy.
Thank you, Ian.
And when we last spoke, we spoke about an article you'd written warning progressives to be careful what they wish for in wanting one of the less electable Republicans, like Herman Cain, I think who was the front runner at the time, to get nominated instead of the more competent Romney. And the theory behind that was that you thought that it was better to have somebody that was actually a little qualified to be the president if indeed outside conditions got so bad that any Republican would be electable. That's a pretty good paraphrase, is it not?
Yes, that's exactly what I wrote.
Well, it would seem to me that, regrettably, that scenario is becoming much, much more real, in as much as we have a Cold War with Iran that is likely to get hot. And a lot of analysts think that sometime this year Israel will strike Iran. At the very least, these naval exercises that the Iranians are conducting along with the joint U.S.-Israeli exercise at the same time and in the same waters is likely to spark something. There's also a theory out there that Netanyahu, who's close to the Republicans, might want to help them. So that's just one of the shoes that could drop. And, of course, the other shoe that could drop is the euro could crash because, for reasons that still mystify me, the Europeans seem incapable of getting their hands around the euro crisis, and it's still smoldering away.
Well, indeed it is. And I think that more than anything, it's the economy that could still end up defeating President Obama as he seeks re-election. Probably not Iran, because regardless of what happens with Iran, I think that there's kind of a rally around the president effect whenever there's any sort of foreign crisis in the works. But certainly the economy is a huge ongoing threat to Obama's hopes for a second term.
But what happens if, for example, Israel attacks Iran, which the president and the Joint Chiefs and every senior American official, including Panetta, have been privately telling them not to do? If he was in a situation where he didn't want to support a situation and the price of gas would go through the roof, this could be a complete catastrophe for Obama, couldn't it?
Well, it could. And I mean, I think you put your finger on it. I think the price of gas going through the roof is what would have more of an effect on him than any of the particulars of a military situation with Iran.
I didn't mean to interrupt that, Dan, but that was the reason why the president opposed the Defense Authorization Act, that the Republicans inserted language in there about putting the squeeze on Iran that he felt would, in fact, tie his hand and drive up the price of oil.
No, absolutely. And I mean, you know, not only that, but under the Constitution, the president is supposed to have a fairly free hand when it comes to the conduct of foreign policy. Not an entirely free hand, but for Congress to be trying to dictate specific policies with regard to international affairs is in itself problematic.
So, Dan Kennedy, given that, we can't declare Romney the winner already because the knives are out in South Carolina. Sheldon Adelson, the casino billionaire, who's close to Gingrich, and you know, Gingrich recently said that the Palestinians are an invented people, which was music to Adelson's ears, and he's now dropped $5 million into a super PAC for Gingrich. And Gingrich, both Gingrich and Perry are down in South Carolina referring to Romney as a vulture capitalist. And there's an expensive, I think, 27-minute film that Gingrich has produced and is airing down there that just eviscerates Romney. All this is happening in spite of the fact that Romney, in his acceptance speech, accused President Obama of wanting to put free enterprise on trial. It looks like it's the Republican candidates who are putting free enterprise on trial.
That's right, and in his speech last night, a remarkably cynical and dishonest speech in many respects. But in his speech, Romney also said, not only is Obama attacking my ties to the free enterprise system, but so are fellow Republicans, and it's just shocking that they would do such a thing. The problem is, I mean, what we're finding is that Romney, his opponents aren't just weak; he's practically unopposed. These other candidates are just not ready for the big stage, and they just prove it over and over again. And moreover, as they head to South Carolina, none of them will get out of the race. So they keep whatever anti-Romney vote there is, and there does seem to be a considerable anti-Romney vote if only an alternative would emerge. It just ends up continuing to get split, three, four, five different ways.
So, Dan Kennedy, you mentioned Romney's acceptance speech in New Hampshire, or his victory speech, I guess. It struck me that when he keeps talking about Obama being a socialist and looking for guidance from European capitals, not from Main Street USA, that he's inventing an Obama, and most of his campaign ads against Obama have largely been inventions. In fact, one was downright dishonest in using a quote of Obama quoting John McCain, and not attributing to the remark to John McCain. So it made it sound like Obama was was critical of America. When he was being critical of McCain, being critical of America, so I get, when you say it's cynical, it seems to me that inherent in this in Romney's strategy is he's running against not against the real Obama, but a fictional Obama that he's creating. Do you think it's going to work?
Well, I don't know what Romney might have in store for the general election. I think that right now it's working on a very different level, and that is it's working in that he is sending a signal to the conservative base of the Republican Party that you can trust me, I'll do anything and say anything to appeal to you and to defeat Obama. So I really think that when he engages in this kind of ridiculous and extreme rhetoric about Obama, he's not really talking to people who he's really talking to the base of the Republican Party, and they're going to vote Republican this fall anyway. It's really more of a signaling that you know, you can stop looking at the Newt Gingriches and the Rick Santorums and the Rick Perrys. You can vote for me. I'm a safe choice. Look what I'm saying about Obama. I really think it's as simple as that.
So I suppose, in a way, given that the Republican right-wing base already believe that Obama is a Muslim without a valid birth certificate, it doesn't matter what you say, right? They'll believe anything.
That's right. They'll believe anything, absolutely. And I don't even know whether they believe it or not. What they want is they want somebody to come out and toss them large chunks of red, bloody meat. And Romney is trying to fill that need for them so that they don't feel a need to go elsewhere.
So tell me, since Romney was your governor there for a number of years in Massachusetts, again, Dan Kennedy, professor of journalism at Northeastern University and a regular panelist on WGBH Boston's Beat the Press, the conventional wisdom was that the reason he won in New Hampshire was that he was popular because he was the governor next door and had a residence there. What's the feeling in Massachusetts about their former governor, because isn't he running from everything he represented in Massachusetts?
Well, it would seem that way, wouldn't it? I mean, as governor of Massachusetts, Romney was a moderate, reasonably competent administrator of the state's affairs. I don't think that most people in Massachusetts have too much of a complaint about the way that he ran things here. To his credit, he ran a very honest administration. There was never a whiff of scandal about him. He managed a very, very difficult situation when a portion of the Big Dig, the infamous Big Dig, fell from the ceiling and killed a woman who was driving through it. He did a very good job with that. Of course, he did a terrific job with the health care law. As his sight started to turn toward national office, he became a vicious opponent of same-sex marriage when earlier in his political career he said that he would be even better for gay rights than Ted Kennedy. And also, toward the end of his time in office, he began giving speeches around the country, making fun of Massachusetts and its liberal image. So even though he did a pretty good job as governor, I think that some of his rhetoric toward the end of his time here really turned a lot of people off. And so today, he's really not all that popular in Massachusetts, and it really has more to do with what he was saying about us around the country than it does about the job he did, which for the most part was pretty good.
So, Dan Kennedy, back to your thesis some time back about why it would maybe progressives would rue the day that they wanted one of the crazier candidates like Herman Cain or Rick Perry to become the Republican president, much easier for Obama to beat, that external events or things could turn so bad that anybody could get elected, and therefore you would want a Romney because at least he's competent. His foreign policy, though, which to some extent he outlined in his his acceptance speech last night in New Hampshire, that was pretty scary. I mean, I don't know who's advising him, but he was talking about even spending more on defense, and almost quoting the Roman dictum of "Let them fear us, not like us." and he talks about war with Iran all the time at every opportunity, which is ties into what I was suggesting earlier, that that may not be a far-fetched scenario, that there will be a war with Iran.
No, it may not be. And I actually wrote a piece for the Huffington Post today about Romney's speech, which I really just found appalling on a lot of levels. And one of the things I do think that we need to be concerned about, because, you know, as you say, I thought that it would make sense for the Republicans to want the Republicans to nominate Romney because he was less extreme than some of the others. But the thing is, regardless of what Romney really believes, and at this point, who knows what he really believes? I'm not sure even he knows. Presidents are held to account for what they say during their campaigns. So in Romney's mind, he may just be in campaign mode now, and he may look at that as being very different from governing mode, kind of like the first George Bush. He kind of operated that way as well. But by the time he gets into office, if he were to win, he's made some pretty strong commitments to work to repeal the health care law that President Obama helped put through Congress, to keep shoveling more money at the military at a time when the military is very bloated and we really can't afford it. And this notion of Israel can do, the Israeli government can do no wrong, regardless of, what the Netanyahu government may wish to do. These are all things that Romney is going to have to live with once he becomes president, if he becomes president. And for that matter, there are things that we will all have to live with. And that's kind of disturbing, especially since I don't know that too many people get the sense that he's saying this for any more than the political expediency of the moment.
Well, just in closing, Dan Kennedy, what about Romney's central appeal, at least the one that he thinks is his winning suit, one presumes so, and that is that I'm a businessman. I have a proven track record in business with Bain Capital. He doesn't say I'm the exemplar of the 1%, which he is, but this other guy doesn't know what he's doing, and I'm the businessman that the country needs to get its house in order.
Well, that's a very appealing message at a time when people are scared about the economy. It's a very simplistic message. I'm not sure how being a successful businessman really translates into holding the highest elected office in the land, where the effect that you have on the economy tends to come through other tools, through taxes and spending, through various other policies. But regardless, certainly when you hear people talk about, well, why are you supporting Romney? Invariably, it's because of his business background, and he does have a very impressive business background. Of course, voters are also going to learn about companies that were destroyed and people who lost their jobs as a result of the way he pursued that business career. But for the most part, I think it's a plus, and it's going to remain a plus.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Dan Kennedy.
Well, thank you for having me, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Dan Kennedy, a professor of journalism at Northeastern University, specializing in new media trends. He is a regular panelist on WGBH Boston's Beat the Press, and his blog, Media Nation, tracks issues related to journalism, politics, and culture. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back with a further look into the Republican frontrunner. Tell you right.